2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 207. Joining us now, Jazz B writer from the Salt Lake Tribune and overall good dude, Andy Larson, kind enough to join us. Andy, how are you?
Andy.
Good, how are you guys?
We are doing well. All right, so I had to go look at the Wikipedia page at Will Hardy. Do you feel like this guy does have the inside track to this Jazz coaching job?
You know, I do hear that that's kind of the vibe right now, is that there's, obviously they've interviewed a ton of candidates. They've given a second interview to a ton of candidates. But if you look at Will Hardy's resume and kind of what he's done with the Spurs organization, what he's, you know, obviously his time overlapped with Quinn Snyder with the Spurs, and then, last year with the Celtics, I think his Team USA as well, I think it's a good hire. You know, the word is, Mark Stein reported it last week that the Jazz were kind of leaning towards an assistant coach rather than going towards someone who had had previous head coaching experience, like a Frank Vogel or a Terry Stotts. Kind of a young assistant coach like Will Hardy, like Kevin Young, like, heck, even Johnny Bryant was kind of the way that the Jazz were thinking with his reporting. And I've heard personally that, Will Hardy is kind of really highly considered after his first couple of interviews.
So I've been talking about this, Andy, just looking at the different candidates and the hiring process, the communication between the organization and the different potential hires. It feels like they're really running their due diligence. And I keep thinking to myself, if there was a guy, this is the question, if there was a guy that came in and just knocked this interview out of the park, do you think we could just see a quick hire, or do you think we're in for a lengthy process?
I think they want to build a coaching staff too. So I think those are some of the things that are playing a role in this, and Danny Ainge was pretty clear that this would be a lengthy process, and nor do I think that there's really an upside to hiring now versus 2 weeks from now. I don't know that you're going to get anyone different with the taxpayer mid-level exception if you have a coach in place versus if you don't. And, I think there's always the chance that, one guy could just wow you and say, hey, that's the guy. But I also think that you probably want to continue to do your due diligence no matter who or what if that happens. So, you want to talk to the people who've worked with Will Hardy over the last decade, and you want to talk to the players who have, played under him, and have they improved? You want to talk to him about player development. You want to, have him meet Ryan Smith and ownership. There's just kind of a lot of steps in this process because they do want it to be a collaborative one, because they do want to hire a coach that's not just going to be around for 1 or 2 years, but 4, 5, 6. And I think there's a lot of kind of factors that they want to think through. So, you know, it's, even if Will Hardy blows it out and I, you know, it blew his interview out of the water and did a great job. And I think that's what I've heard, that has happened. You still want to do the proper work in order to make that hire.
So I think there's a lot of people out there that, Phil, and maybe this is the case and maybe it's not. You can clarify on this a little bit, that you hire a head coach and then you give him a assistant coaching pool of money and say, okay, now go divvy it up and go build your staff. Is that going to be the case here, or will the Jazz and Danny Ainge also be involved in a certain number of assistants will be part of the staff?
It totally depends, right? Like, and that's one of the things that's very much up for negotiation and coaching contracts. So, I mean, I'll just give you the example I'm most familiar with Quinn Snyder. At the beginning, he did not have full control over his coaching staff, right? Like, so he kept along some of the people from Ty Corbin's coaching staff, like Alex Jensen and Brad Jones. Obviously, kind of Johnny Bryant was working his way up in that sphere as well. And then, you know, by kind of midway through his tenure a few years ago, then when he did sign his next contract, yeah, then he was given kind of carte blanche to do whatever he wanted with his coaching staff, given the salary, right? And so you saw some kind of changes to that coaching staff as a result. And so I think that's kind of what we should expect with this. Is I don't know that he would necessarily have carte blanche right away like Quinn Snyder kind of earned, but you know, certainly he's going to have say in that conversation. There's no doubt about that.
So, Andy, as we kind of look for things to evolve, we know that free agency starts July 1st. To kind of help everybody understand what that means, when July 1st rolls around, what does that mean to the Utah Jazz?
Well, and it's funny because this year they're pushing it forward to June 30th at, I believe it's 6 p.m. Eastern time. So that, you know, instead of having kind of midnight free agency like we're kind of used to, we get kind of these news breaking periods in the middle of the day. And the NBA was hoping essentially to get more eyeballs on the NBA when you, you know, have big news stories happen in the afternoon rather than at night. But, when that rolls around, I think we're going to hear conversations that the Jazz might be having. I think, honestly, as we've talked about all offseason long, the trade market is where the Jazz are going to be doing their business this offseason. And truthfully, you know, the taxpayer mid-level is not going to be the first thing that probably gets signed, you know, unless the Jazz want to kind of give that money to someone who is a reach for it or doesn't think they can get a better deal elsewhere. You know, usually you're signing taxpayer mid-levels 2-3 days into free agency, maybe even a week after free agency begins, because, you know, you're dealing with people who maybe have other better offers elsewhere. So, from a Jazz point of view, I don't expect like a lot of rapid changes. You know, there's no realistic path for them to get any more cap space than that. You know, I could see maybe a deal with like Daniel House or something like that getting done relatively quickly. They do have to make a decision on Juancho Hernan Gomez's contract. But like, you know, I think for the most part, it's not going to be a exciting free agency period for Jazz fans, at least not in the free agency market. I think, again, it's the trade market that's going to be the bigger deal.
I did want to circle back a little bit on the coaching staff. You mentioned, obviously, they're casting a wide net, and you kind of hinted at this. I just want to spend a little bit more time on it. So, like, let's say a guy like Jason Terry, obviously Bennett was in the league for a long time, currently in the G League. Is the purpose of his hire or of his interview, obviously they're going to give him a shot, and if he blows the Jazz away, he'd have an opportunity. But are they also interviewing some guys in particular, guys like that, as potential assistant coaches for this future staff?
Yeah, I think they will, and I think they are. You know, I obviously you want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt and a real shot at the number one gig, right? But the reality of it is, you know, you can't hire 15 candidates, and it depends really who you may hire as that head coach. Now, you know, if the reporting is wrong and they do want to go with someone with, you know, prior head coaching experience like a Terry Stotts or a Frank Vogel, then, you know, you have kind of those boxes checked. But if you are going with someone younger like a Will Hardy or Kevin Young or whoever, or Johnny Bryant, you know, someone 35 to 40 who's hasn't had that head coaching experience, you might prefer someone who has head coaching experience, you know, and you start to have conversations with people who do, and whether that's bringing on someone like a Mike D'Antoni as a coaching advisor or again, a Terry Stotts or a Frank Vogel, or heck, even someone like Jason Terry, who has that G League coaching experience, you have conversations with Alex Jensen, you know, a former D League coach of the year. You know, you do really kind of start to put together, I think, a coaching staff that makes sense. And, you know, I also think that's not even just experience, but maybe what their resume says they're better at. So, for example, Kevin Young with the Suns, widely regarded as like an offensive mastermind, but maybe you want a defensive coach to work with him too. So maybe that's when you'd have a conversation with a Frank Vogel or maybe an Adrian Griffin, you know, someone who's really kind of renowned for their defensive qualities as well. And, you know, I think that's kind of an NFL way of thinking about it. But I do think you look at some of the successful coaching staffs around the league and you can kind of make a coaching staff that makes each other stronger by having different strengths in different parts of the, you know, kind of the game.
Andy, when the NBA draft came and went, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most surprised, how surprised were you that the Jazz did not make a move to get into the draft?
You know, if you'd asked me that question on Monday, like what the odds are last Monday before the draft on what I, you know, I thought the Jazz were kind of, and they had significant momentum towards making some sort of a deal. And I would, you know, said, hey, maybe there's a chance that they kind of bridged that gap by the middle or the end or, you know, Thursday on draft day itself. By Thursday, my vibe was just very much that they were pretty far away from a deal, that, you know, there wasn't significant, you know, it's not that they were a small player or pick protections away in some of these trade negotiations. They were really significantly far away on their biggest goals, you know? So, you know, it still wouldn't have surprised me if they did a smaller move for a second round draft pick or something like that. Obviously that didn't happen, but in terms of like a Mike Conley or Rudy Gobert trade, they were pretty far away. And so I think that's, I can't say that I was super surprised when no trade happened. And again, you know, I think Danny Ainge is going to be really patient. You know, he is telling other front offices and it, you know, other front offices either do or don't believe this, but that they are willing to keep Rudy Gobert and that they are willing to keep Mike Conley and they are willing to kind of keep their guys rather than take a bad deal. And, you know, I like I said, some front offices believe that and some front offices think that that's just posturing, right? Like you obviously don't say, hey, we need to sell this guy right away. That being said, you know, obviously the pressure will ramp up in free agency. I think everyone's watching the Kevin Durant situation right now, the Kyrie Irving situation right now, and so are the Jazz, not necessarily to get Kevin Durant, but because, you know, if the Portland Trailblazers get Kevin Durant and all of a sudden, you know, the Western Conference is a whole lot harder and maybe that changes your perspective on what you're trying to do and what kind of deals you need to make. So, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a bad kind of urgency there where they felt like they needed to get a deal done on at the draft. You know, obviously that's when a lot of deals happen, but you also look around the league and say, hey, John Collins didn't get moved. Miles Turner, Malcolm Brogdon from Indiana didn't get moved. You know, there are just a lot of these guys who were in trade rumors all week that didn't get moved, you know, because I think these teams, you know, were not necessarily willing to budge on their asking prices.
So, maybe let's just not beat around the bush here. Not saying that you are, but let's just be honest. Is there really value for what the Jazz have to offer right now in terms of, I mean, Royce O'Neal was not good last year. Mike Conley's old and has a bad contract. Rudy Gobert is owed what, like $160 million at least over the next, or 120 some odd over the next 3 years. And if he opts, you know, picks up that fourth year option, you know, nearly $170 million. Is the demand for Jazz players just not as much as what maybe Jazz fans or Jazz front office think it is?
Frankly, yes. Like, yeah. I mean, that is the problem. And, you know, I think there are cases where it makes sense. You know, I think that Toronto and Atlanta and Chicago would love to change up their starting center. And Rudy Gobert is obviously the best one on the trade market. But it's also like, yeah, you got to pay him a lot. And, yeah, he just turned 30 this weekend. And, you know, you got to put a good fit around him and play basketball in a certain way. And it doesn't work in a lot of situations. Mike Conley, I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. It's aging and had a really poor playoffs and, has had injury concerns, you know, for the last couple of seasons. Like it probably just does not look like a positive contract, Even though, you know, the advanced stats on Mike Conley's performance during the regular season were great last year, it's just like, okay, can you still get much out of him? And, you know, obviously, yeah, Royce doesn't have a lot of trade value, like you said. I think the one guy who does have pretty significant trade value is, Bojan Bogdanovic. And that's not to say Bogey has more trade value than Rudy Gobert or something like that, but there is a need for shooting in this league, and there is, Bogey does have some defensive toughness at times. You know, he's shown that in the playoffs. He's obviously not like a rebounder or anything like that. But he's a guy that you can plug and play in probably like 20 of the 30 NBA teams, whereas you just have a smaller market for, you know, how many teams in the NBA really need a starting point guard right now? How many teams in the NBA really need a starting center right now? And it's just a harder conversation to have. The problem with trading Bogey, obviously, is that you're not going to get anyone back that, you know, is better. and then at least for the Jazz next season. And so, you know, trading Bogey is really the point where you have to choose a direction, and you have to choose, do you want to take a step back next year in order to retool and rebuild and get younger? Or do you want to, you know, if you're going to trade Bogey, do you also trade one of Rudy or Donovan in order to get, you know, to go that direction and, you know, start frankly losing games and kind of rebuild in totality? So, it's a tough situation right now. And that is definitely like the angst in the Jazz's locker room, in the Jazz's front office, excuse me, is like, you know, as Danny Ainge is kind of coming into a really tough situation because there has been some asset mismanagement from the Jazz. And, you know, honestly, they went all in and it didn't work. And so, yeah, they don't have a lot of future assets right now that can help kind of make these deals go along.
You brought up the Juancho Hernangómez contract, and it was incredible to see really him land and play out the year. Number one, what do they end up doing with Juancho? Number two, how did Juancho end up as a star in an Adam Sandler film?
The Adam Sandler bit is funny. Like, just they kind of picked him out, and he just got a phone call one day, which is kind of a crazy way, for someone to all of a sudden be drafted into a movie. But that's what happened with Juancho. But yeah, truly a great story. So Juancho's making $7 million next year. But it's non-guaranteed. It fully guarantees on June 30th, this week on Thursday. So they're going to have to make a decision is, do you want to keep Juancho's next deal or next year, or do you want to basically save the luxury tax money? And it's going to be an interesting question. You know, we have seen this team trade away salary in order to save luxury tax money in several moves over the last year, whether that's like Mieone, you could go back to obviously Derek Favors, Ed Davis, and even the Joe Ingles trade, right? They saved a little bit of salary. Waiving him would make some sense. The problem was he was pretty good in a Jazz uniform last year. So maybe you waive him and then sign him to a new deal where, you know, you're using some of the mid-level exception on him if you want to go in that direction. Like, I could see it kind of going either way, and I truly don't know what to expect with Juancho, but I do think that like what the Jazz do with him on the 30th is kind of going to be a bellwether for what you're looking for in terms of the direction of the team. You know, do they want to continue to spend money on guys like Juancho and contending role players? You know, Juancho makes sense as a pretty decent ninth guy. Or do you want to say, hey, that's not the direction we're going, we need some flexibility, and they go elsewhere, right? So it's going to be interesting. I truly have no idea what to expect with Juancho, but like, it will be a bellwether for sure.
I guess they've been making it work for a while, and you can tell that there's some issues there. And I don't know if it's Rudy and Donovan per se, or if it's Team Rudy and Team Donovan that can't seem to coexist with each other, the camps and the marketing arm of each one of them. But after an offseason where it really feels like, you know, we all just kind of feel like Rudy could be gone and a little bit surprised if he does come back, can these guys make it work if they do run it back in terms of being able to coexist in the locker room?
They'll try.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's all good until you get punched in the face, right? Like, I think that's kind of what we've learned about Rudy and Donovan over the last few years. It's like, okay, you know, when things are going well, like they were in 2020, and you can win an incredible number of games, and they are a good pairing. When you run into any sort of, you know, in terms of just problem, you have stuff like the fourth quarter lost leads. You have stuff like them sniping at each other in the media. You have, frankly, like you pointed out, like the marketing arms and agents and, you know, family members and all that, like kind of bickering at each other in the scenes. You have an incredibly tough job for an incoming coach, especially if the young one, you know, like, to kind of deal with that situation and deal with egos in his first year in the job. You know, like, I think it's not that, you know, I think ultimately, like, Donovan and Rudy are pretty pragmatic people, and, like, I think they can play together when things are good. But, you know, I think we just saw last season so frequently what happens when things aren't good, and when, you know, you have a COVID month like January, or you lose an important locker room voice like Joe Ingles, or, you know, you have someone say something at the wrong time, or just have a disappointing loss. And, you know, I think, like, it would be okay. You know, I don't think they're, like, going to fight each other or anything, like, in, you know, with fists, but yeah. Are they, is it going to be comfortable for anybody the whole time? No, it's not. And, you know, at some point it does just feel like, hey, you know, you went all in on this core, you know, and that made sense to do, but it's not working out. And so pivoting is probably the smart move. It's just, yeah, can you get kind of fair assets in return in order to make that pivot?
So to revisit what NBA executives and what you feel like the vibe is, do you feel like the Jazz are bluffing when they say, yeah, we'll run it back and we'll win 45 to 48 games again next year and we'll be just fine? Do you believe that the Jazz actually believe that they're willing to do that?
I think they're short-term believe that. I think they're long-term bluffing, right? So I think they would be okay with getting through, like, the next months and next few months even without necessarily trading one of Donovan or Rudy. But I do think it's kind of basically a Ben Simmons situation. And I'm not saying either one of those guys are going to sit out games like that, but it might be more like Jimmy Butler with Minnesota. You know, you just, like, or Philadelphia for that matter, like, it's just not something that the team wants to deal with long term, that they're going to wait for a good return on their deal, and see what kind of opportunities exist in the trade market. Danny Ainge is a really, really good negotiator when it comes to these kind of trades and getting these kind of deals done. But I think he's also shown a willingness to kind of strike at the right time when the deal makes sense. And I don't think the Jazz are going to pivot just to pivot necessarily, and not get 40 cents on the dollar when they do. I think they would be willing to kind of go approach the regular season and, heck, maybe even the trade deadline with this and see where it goes, you know, and that's obviously not an ideal situation. And that means, like, if we're talking about the trade deadline, then that means four more months of this and kind of a franchise in stagnation a little bit. But heck, you know, I think that's probably a better outcome than taking, you know, a bad deal or taking back pieces that don't make sense for the future. You know, like a Nikola Vucevic deal doesn't help the Jazz short or long term.
So, Andy, Scotty and I got to sit down with Jazz owner Ryan Smith last week for a conversation. Had a blast with him. And Scotty asked him what it's like dealing with the fervor of social media. And he picked up on it really quick. He said, all right, let's do it. Just talk about the Jazz jerseys. Let's do it. And he just goes into it. And I'm curious, what's been the response that you've seen? And did the Jazz get this way wrong? Are they way off track here? How do you feel about what they've released and how they've released on these jerseys?
The jerseys are bad. And nationally, it's not just Jazz fans. It's not just, you know, crazy, you know, people like me getting at it. It's like nationally, the Jazz messed this up. Like, I think I used the word laughingstock in my piece, and I think that's accurate. Like, you just look at the people's reaction to the Jazz's jerseys, and it's uniformly negative. From, you know, guys who love jerseys really, you know, like Uniwatch and some of the kind of longstanding uniform watchers out there who are kind of tracking which jerseys are good and which ones aren't, to even, you know, just like average basketball fans out there who are like, you know, eh, what is this? I think they messed it up. And, you know, I told Ryan that, obviously I wrote that in an article, and then I ran into him at an RSL game last weekend, and you know, kind of had a similar conversation with him. And I, like you said, like, I give Ryan props for, you know, being a billionaire that, you know, he was walking to a suite while I was walking to my seats in Rio Tinto, but like, he was willing to have that conversation. And we talked for 5 minutes about kind of what the limitations were of, you know, he talked about how, hey, Nike didn't approve the first kind of designs or color schemes 1, 2, and 3. You know, they said, hey, this one looks too much like Brooklyn. Hey, this one looks too much like Sacramento. So you can see, like, okay, this was not anybody's first choice. And then, you know, I think he said, you know, and I thought that was pretty clear with how the team released them, by focusing on the purple uniform, which, by the way, is actually good, and, you know, kind of shunting the black, white, and yellow stuff to the bottom of the press release, to the end of the video, and so on. So, I think essentially it's an own goal. You know, it's a mistake that didn't have to be made. You know, I think it was a case of the Jazz hiring some new designers to kind of put in a fresh vision, and them going too far with it. And, but that being said, you know, like, I think that criticism is fair there. I think, like, that they had the understanding that this was received badly is a good thing, and kind of pivoted to purple like they did was a good sign. And we'll see how quickly they can change it or improve on these jerseys. You know, like, I think there are, like, kind of black, white, and yellow uniforms that do make sense. You look at kind of some of the fan designs out there, and there's some decent looking ones. There are some pretty good looking ones, but just kind of what we ended up with was non-ideal by nearly everyone's estimation.
Well, Andy, we could do this all day, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by.
Seriously, Andy, thank you.
Always good to catch up, and let's do it again soon, all right?
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
You got it. Andy Larson. Follow him on Twitter, at Andy B. Larson, Jazz beat writer, and a lot of other things for the Salt Lake Tribune. Does a really good job.
Let's just say this. He doesn't care what you think. It's about the way he sees it.
Yeah.
It always has been, always will be.
I admire that, too. I mean, there's some things that he has opinions on that I'm like, Andy, you are dead wrong on that,
yeah.
You know, and that's okay. And he's okay with that.
Absolutely.
You know, but I appreciate somebody that just puts himself out there and just says, look, this is what I think. This is how I see it. And I'm like, all right, I respect the heck out of that.
And I respect people that work hard.
Yeah. He's a grinder for sure. Hey, we got a little house cleaning before Miles hops on. This is, I can't believe you did a fellow fan dirty like this. You see what Eric tweeted out?
No.
Said, by the way, I still haven't received a congratulations text from fellow Lancher 97.5 hands. I took him in as one of ours, and I sent him a text immediately. Like, you need to
I was so overcome with joy.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I was so moved with joy that my texting thumbs were paralyzed. And I did not realize that... I did not realize that he had sent me a text. I'm actually looking for it.
And that's code for, I don't even have your number.
Or he's blocked.
Oh, yeah, he could be blocked, maybe.
Oh, let's see. Is this it?
Not going to call me Hoynes again.
Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah. Oh, he did.
He sent you the video.
Yep.
Better watch the language there, mate. That might be a different one.
Yeah, that might be the
unedited.
Uncensored. The blue cut.
All right. I just sent him a text back.
All right.
So look at that. Cleaned up.
There you go, Eric. You're getting the love. All right. Miles joining us from Wasatch Medical right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. So, Miles, if there's guys out there struggling in the bedroom and they're thinking, you know what? It's just my lifestyle. I'll cut out the carbs. I'll do sit-ups. I'll get to the gym, and bam, things are going to be back to normal. It's going to be okay. You mentioned it's usually doesn't work that way.
You know, it would be nice if it did, wouldn't it? But unfortunately, it's not. It's a lot like eyesight. Once it starts to go, you really need some help to get it corrected. And unfortunately, diet, exercise, all that stuff, although highly important, especially as we're wrapping up Men's Health Month here in June, that's not going to do the trick. And for 30 years, what we've had to deal with is the pill and all its chemicals. What we have is acoustic wave therapy, a non-invasive, pain-free way to treat your ED. And I'm going to tell you what, guys are loving it.
Well, and you've changed a lot of lives. I'm sure you've got a lot of success stories out there, too, of guys that have been like, wow, this is a new world we're living in right now. And the fact is that it all starts with a free assessment, free chat with a physician. I love the fact when you guys from Wasatch Medical call, you bring the free with you.
That's right. You're going to get that free exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound, plus that special gift we talk about that provides powerful results in the bedroom. It's all worth hundreds of dollars, and you're not going to pay one dime.
Well, and there's a lot of guys, I'm sure, that come in and they get that assessment and they realize, okay, this is the way I want to proceed. And if not, that's okay too, but you got to have that knowledge. You got to figure out what's going on.
That's right. You've got to get ahead of it. You've got to understand what's going on with your body. And at least this way, you know.
801-901-8000, Miles and the crew at Wasatch Medical ready to help you out right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The search continues as the Jazz look for a new head coach. Keep it locked on the Zone for all the latest rumors, insight, and breaking news. Ow! It's the most dramatic offseason in Utah Jazz history, and nobody has it covered better than your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball.
Oh, he never looked at the net. He's got eyes behind his head.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Always feel bad when I say or do something, and then you end up taking the brunt of it.
It's happened twice in a really big way.
I know the one. What's the other one?
So there was the
The
officer in Saratoga.
Yeah, yeah.
That dealt with the situation.
Yeah, I know.
That
I know.
You went after on air.
I didn't go after.
And then there was a head coach for Boise State.
Okay, I have no regrets about that one. The first one, I feel really bad about. Bad about that one. The second one, When I was running Boise State into the ground, and then you and Brian Harsin chatted. Yeah.
We are in the studio on the broadcast together. He's looking at me, and I said, "Hey, Coach Harsin, Hans Olsen." He goes, "Oh, I know who you are." And didn't say it like, "And it's good to meet you." It was like, "Yeah, I know who you are." It was so awkward because you had just torched him like the week before or maybe the week of. I can't remember.
Yeah, it could have been both, honestly.
And I was like, oh, yeah. So anyways.
It's going to be fun.
Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you don't like Boise State either. You just left it.
Yeah. One thing about Brian Harsin, dead man walking.
Yeah. Is Auburn going to let him go, do you think?
I'd be surprised if he makes it halfway through the season.
Yeah, I would too.
Hey, make sure to join Unrivaled. They'll be live at R&R Barbecue coming up Thursday starting at 3 o'clock at the Midvale location, 7171 South Bingham Junction Boulevard. You can vote for your favorite sauce, available exclusively at the Days of 47. Food, prizes, and more, R&R Barbecue in Midvale. All right, Lloyd, time to fire up the old wheel.
Somebody's leaking stuff.
Scotty, an interesting situation. So the Las Vegas Raiders bring Colin Kaepernick in for a workout.
Yes.
You remember?
Yep.
And everything that we had got, or for the most part, everything I'd heard was that Colin went in and did a pretty darn good job.
Did all right, yeah.
Well, here is former Las Vegas Raider Warren Sapp, talking about Colin Kaepernick's workout.
I mean, do you see Kaepernick coming back? I mean, he tried out with the Raiders recently, but I heard the tryout wasn't all that great.
I heard it was a disaster. I heard it was one of the worst workouts ever. I'm wondering how the hell this happened and the tape didn't get out, right? I mean, somebody wasn't over the fence or nothing? Come on, man. We live in a world right now where you put a drone up. Hey, it ain't like they can stop you. They ain't gonna stop the workout talking about there's a drone up here. We don't know who this is. I mean, what? Come on, let's run this. They don't even send them up the ladder anymore. You know, when we used to go out to practice, send the guy up the thing, he's shooting practice off. Unbelievable.
I think Brian Kelly kind of ruined that for everybody.
Does he know that the Raiders are indoor? No?
Probably not. Drones. Yeah. I'd not heard that it was bad. It's not surprising. The guy hasn't played football in like 5 years, for crying out loud. I can't imagine he's going in there and looking like Joe Montana slinging it.
When Warren Sapp's talking, everything that way, direction, makes way more sense to me.
Yeah, because it happened and then there's never been any talk of signing him or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody's afraid of Colin. Because he wields such a huge political sword. And so nobody's going to come out and be like, oh, Colin was trash. Because then there'd be a march on them and it'd be hell for them. Like, nobody's doing it. And so everybody's like, oh, yeah, we'll just keep that quiet. But Warren Sapp actually makes sense to me more than anybody, even though he seems a bit out of his mind. You know he's got so many connections with that organization.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know Warren Sapp's a troublemaker, but
did you enjoy the Warren Sapp era with the Raiders, Lloyd?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good.
I love the Warren Sapp.
He's one of those
era.
Where you kind of hated him on another team, but you loved him when he was on your team.
He's underappreciated. He's an appreciated D-tackle. Everybody knows.
Absolutely. Obviously a Hall of Famer, but he was like a lot of Raiders where they go and they do good things at other teams and then they come to the Raiders, cash the check, and then just don't care.
He wasn't that. I mean, he might have. I might have overpaid a little bit on him.
Did he ever make the playoffs as a Raider?
Yeah, but they hadn't made it the playoffs in forever anyway. Okay, would that matter?
Well, I'm just saying, like...
Was he not on the Super Bowl team?
Didn't really do anything to get him over the hump.
He was on the other team.
No, he was playing for the Buccaneers when they beat
the
Raiders.
Yeah, he was playing for the Buccaneers. Oh. Don't act like you don't know.
I didn't know. Jeff Nally, who is Kaepernick's agent, instantly came out the same day that Warren Sapp had this interview on some YouTube TV thing. And Jeff Nally comes out with this big statement. He's like, that is so false. He couldn't be more wrong. He must not have talked to the general manager of the Raiders because...
You mean the general manager that's not there anymore? That guy?
Who got fired for apparently bringing in Colin Kaepernick?
It's crazy, but he's got a point, too. Like, how would that film not surface? Because if it was good and Kaepernick had the film, he would be like, here's the film. And if it was, and I know the Raiders wouldn't want to release it either way, but if it was good, the agent would get it, be like, look at the film. No film.
No film. Zero.
Mm-mm.
Not even just like, and like random just B-roll, like warming up film, like nothing.
Meanwhile, you get film of Kaepernick walking out of Chili's, you know, saying three words. And you get film.
Yeah.
But it goes in for an NFL workout, no film. I know that people want to keep it, but his camp, somebody's going to release that and be like, the film proves it.
He still got it.
I should be in the league.
Well, and okay. I mean, look, both things can be true. Like, you know, people out there can really despise Colin Kaepernick for political issues, and people can really love Colin Kaepernick for political issues. The fact is, the guy probably still should have been in the league a year or two after he could not get a job. Like, he was good enough to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Because there was a time when he's leading the 49ers to the Super Bowl, he's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. The guy was a really special talent. And then when he got injured, it fell off fast. But, I mean, look at some of the quarterbacks that have been in the league. Like, but he's been out of the league so long. Like, it's no wonder. It's no wonder he stinks. It's not a surprise at all. Mm-hmm. Now, was he probably unfairly kept out of the league for a while? While he could still be a serviceable quarterback, probably.
That could be argued.
But now, no.
No.
No, absolutely not. And honestly, too, a general manager's looking at it and saying, okay, even those first couple of years when he probably could help a team, he's like, okay, if it's Patrick Mahomes saying and doing what Colin Kaepernick was doing at the time, Patrick Mahomes is still employed in the NFL. but because he still brings an intense amount of value to your team as far as wins and losses. At that point, Colin Kaepernick did not, although he was still better than probably a lot of backups out there. It's just, you know, and general manager's like, if we bring him in,
not doing it.
It's like the Tim Tebow effect. They bring a lot of stuff with them, and it's not worth it to the locker room.
I will also tell you, I wonder if there was some league persuasion.
I think there may have been.
Because I have felt like over the last 2 years, the league has wanted to really get away from any controversies and get back to football.
Yeah.
You just look at the way they've used their cameras. You know, during the kneeling, situation over a couple years span, every time somebody took a knee, the camera's on it. For the last 2 years, camera hasn't been on it.
Yeah.
And then the league came forward and they're like, look, you're either standing or you're in the locker room. And it's not just the kneeling. It feels like really every major political controversy or otherwise, the league's like, nope, we're steering away. Let's do the football thing.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, there for a while, the networks, you know, you could tell like there was some producer like, you find me somebody kneeling right now and I'm going to put him on TV right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the NFL's like, hey, look, we're done with this.
Yeah.
And we understand it's your broadcast and you pay us for the right to broadcast it. But just know we're going to remember what you show and we're done with this.
Yep.
So knock it off. And I think the league went to great lengths to make sure that stuff got scrubbed.
I do too. I do too. And so I think that there were some other pressures. But to your point, he's not this NFL quarterback that's being blacklisted from the league right now.
No.
That's not happening.
Yeah. I mean, geez, how old is he now? He's probably, what, 34? Hold on. Now I got to find it. 34? Did I nail it? Bam. All good right. Shot. Lloyd, one more or should we go to break? Your call.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, man. How ugly is this going to get for the Texans, Scotty?
It's a good question. Texans now have been sued for enabling former quarterback Deshaun Watson's behavior during massage therapy sessions. A lawsuit filed on Monday accuses the team of being aware of Watson's alleged behavior during those massage therapy sessions and that individuals within the Texan organization knew or should have known of Watson's conduct.
If they can prove that they knew, they're in a lot of trouble.
If they did know, yes. But here's the thing that always kind of bothers me a little bit. Is knew or should have known. All right, so should somebody, let's say a general manager or training staff, let's say they had no contact whatsoever, they didn't know what was going on, should they have known?
In the NFL, no.
Yeah, because this is Deshaun Watson's hiring individuals. They're coming to his home. Like, should the Texans really know what's going on? Now, if for a chance they did know, then yeah. Sue their socks off for crying out loud.
Well, some of the things they cited was that they know that rooms were set up for him at the Houstonian Hotel, massage tables provided to him for private massage sessions, and an NDA provided to him from the head of Texans security. So there were different things that they're citing, but we have to continue to remember this. As ugly as this is going to seem to everybody out there listening, and as ugly as it might seem to Scotty, Lloyd, and myself, we got to remember this. No criminal charges have been filed. Yeah, we did see 20 lawsuits that have been settled. There are 4 that are currently active against him. Yeah, we know that there has been some scummy activity. We know that. No criminal charges have been pressed, have been put against him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you look at coming in to sue the Houston Texans and you don't have any type of criminal charge or, you know, let alone a conviction, let alone a charge, I just think it's going to be really tough to get to the Texans. But, you know, you look at Watson and you're like, okay, he's got money. Who really has money?
Yeah.
Oh, I know who has money.
See, Watson's got millions. Yeah. Let's go after the guy that's got billions.
Yeah.
You know.
And I feel like that's the way we're headed right now.
All right, wrap this thing up. Get you ready for Unrivaled next, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60.
3, 2, 1.
60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah.
60 and 60.
As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo! Woo! Cougars and Aggies,
yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, The Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up a Monday edition of the show. Hope you're all having a tremendous day.
This thing is out of control with Brittany Griner. You know the trial went down. The pretrial went today on today.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so she gets her criminal trial on July 1st. But the Russian authorities are saying that she will be in Russian custody for at least another 6 months. Now, here's the crazy thing. So she's going to go on trial.
Yep.
They're going to convict her.
Yep.
And the sentence is 10 years.
Yep.
No, this thing is bonkers, out of control bonkers. And this all just happened today. She's been detained since February. She's finally going to see the criminal trial that starts July 1st. But during this hearing, it was announced that she would remain in Russian custody for another 6 months. Minimum. Are you kidding me? Not, we get to 6 months and we're nearly at a year, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
July, August, September, October, November, December. She was taken in February. That's 10 months.
Yep.
Just in holding. Regardless how you might feel about Brittany Griner and some of the things that she said in the past, not a chance she deserves to be sitting in a Russian prison cell right now.
Nope. Not one bit.
Scotty, could you imagine?
No.
You're sitting in that. Did you see the pictures today of her ankles and hands cuffed up and acting like she's some type of violent criminal? Yeah. She had some hash oil.
Come on.
Holy moly. Well, could get ugly.
All right. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Miles with us one last time. Miles, we appreciate you coming on today because I know there's a lot of people out there that – they may have dialed in the number, 801-901-8000. They just can't quite hit send yet. Here's the time. Now's the time. Look, this isn't getting better for you. If you're struggling, now's the time to call and take advantage of all these free offers.
Boy, you couldn't have said it any better. And, you know, let me tip that edge just a little bit if you're suffering from ED. No pills, no chemicals, no pain. 60 independent placebo-controlled studies from 5 different countries. Cambridge has studied this. The Cleveland Clinic has studied this. They've called it safe and effective. Some have even called it the new standard of care for ED treatment.
And it all happens with that free assessment. And let's talk about it. If somebody calls in and they set up that appointment, what exactly is the process and what will they experience?
Well, the best way to know where you're at is to give us a call because for free, we're going to give you the exam, the assessment, and the blood flow ultrasound. Plus, we're even going to give you an additional gift that provides powerful results. You're going to love it. It's worth hundreds of dollars. You're not going to pay a dime, but you'll have a better sense of where you're at and how we can treat you.
And, of course, this has an end date, too. Let's acoustic wave therapy. It's not the pill where you're on it forever. You know, matter of 2 to 3 weeks, you could have this wrapped up.
That's right. Those gentle pressure waves travel into the blood vessel, allowing for more blood flow. We've seen an end date, unlike the pill, which only masks the symptoms. This uses a process called neovascularization. It works about the same way as you do to build a muscle in the gym, and it helps your body naturally fix the problem. Plus, we are seeing that end date, so you don't have to do this all the time.
Miles, we appreciate it, man. 801-901-8000. Call right now, 801-901-8000. Miles, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Have a great day, guys.
You got it. That's Wasatch Medical, 801-901-8000. Unrivaled next, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.